Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Bossi, president of Ag Resource Company, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois, and joined by our sister company, Climate Impact Company, and Scott Uknis in, of course, Massachusetts. Now, Scott is a world-renowned forecaster. He has helped Ag Resource Company identify hotspots, agriculturally speaking, as we go into a new growing season. Hemispherically, we are now focused on South America and the Southern Hemisphere, of course, Australia, Africa, and the Southern Hemisphere. But as we think of USDA, they are estimating that South American corn and soybean production will be up a record amount, 47 million metric tons this year. And of course, last year, Brazil captured the crown as being the world's largest, not only soybean exporter, but also corn exporter. So for good reason, the marketplace is going to be very focused on Southern Hemisphere weather as we think about the next 6 to 10 weeks. With that in mind, I thought I'd bring Scott in. We talk a little bit about the South American forecast, what he sees, and maybe we'll finish up with a comment from me in terms of what it means for the markets. Scott, welcome. Thank you again. And enlighten us, if you would, a little bit on Latin American weather, in particular Brazil, the behemoth it is in world agricultural trade.
Okay, Dan, thank you very much. There's just no question that there is an awful lot of interest in Brazil, you know, Argentina, the entire Latin America area for climate. And we, you know, I think the theme of the presentation today is that we don't have, in my view, a straightforward set of circumstances here. We have, to a degree, the last several summers, a strong La Nina well intact out there for 3 years. So that made climate somewhat straightforward. But, you know, we've come out of that and we've shifted into an El Nino. And the El Nino, although oceanically is well-defined, the climate really isn't responding as much as it normally would be. We've actually just entered an El Nino climate, even though the oceanic El Nino began several months ago. So it's a bit of a tricky forecast. However, there are a lot of concerns. So let's go through some of them. You know, just taking a look at soil moisture conditions across Brazil, for instance, and certainly Argentina, you know, we are in a dry situation. The deep layer soil moisture to a degree at the surface level is dry. And the reason for that is the La Nina climate, which was in place for three solid years. It really didn't end until early 2023. So you can see the dry bias of the last 3 years has been across, you know, central and southern Brazil and certainly Argentina. And that's been well developed and out there for quite some time. So, of course, that's going to lead to drought, which we've seen, and also soil moisture deficits in the deep layers of soil conditions, which even if we don't have drought at the moment, if it is dry in the deep layer soil moisture conditions, we can develop drought pretty easily, even flash drought. So these deep layer soil moisture conditions are really important. And then this year, we've gradually shifted towards El Nino. And, you know, that's added some wet weather. That's great. Not everyone has had that. But central Brazil, parts of east central Brazil have remained on the dry side. So even though we've done a pretty big shift in the climate pattern, key areas, key crop areas in Brazil have remained on the dry side. Now, right now, the soil moisture conditions across Brazil are certainly mostly in drought, moderate drought. A few places are even stronger than that. The soil moisture analysis across Brazil, which I'm sure everyone is familiar with, shows that. And the analysis from the National Weather Service here in the United States more broadly shows the exposure of dry conditions that we have right now. And I think this is because of several things. You know, the longer-term climate, which we just went through, mostly related to La Nina, and then still some dryness. We've been walking slowly towards El Nino the last several months, but even that hasn't helped a great deal. And then if you go back to the late 1990s, we've shifted into a La Nina cycle. So most of the last 20, since the 97-98 El Nino, almost 25 years now, the climate has been mostly biased towards La Nina, which is a dry signal in much of South America, certainly Brazil. So we have the combination of several factors that have led to broad dryness across Brazil as we head towards summertime. And of course, Argentina maintains a drought condition right now. Now, I talked earlier about the unique climate that we're in right now, and it really is unique. This is certainly, I haven't seen this before, and I've been, as Dan pointed out, we've been at this a long, long, long time. So we certainly have El Nino, which in this sea surface temperature anomaly forecast, this is for January by the European model, but conditions are quite similar to this right now. Notice that in the middle latitudes, the waters are much warmer than normal. That's a problem because it's preventing the El Nino, the oceanic El Nino, from producing a strong El Nino climate. The reason for that is we don't have what we typically have had in past years, strong thermal gradient between the warmth, which convenes in the eastern equatorial Pacific and westward into the West Pacific, where it usually cools off. That's not happening this time, surface and subsurface. And north and south of the tropics, we have these huge marine heat waves, which have been out there now for almost a decade. Very persistent. They're out there now, forecast to remain there in January. So without the lack of thermal gradient between the warmth in the tropics and the warmth that's to the north and south of the equatorial region, the El Nino climate is having difficulty being as strong as it normally would be. Now, if you take a look at the graph on the right, we can see a comparison between the Nino 3-4 SSTA, which is very warm right now. And that's the conventional definition of, you know, what ENSO is doing. So we're in a moderate to strong El Nino right now. And the Nino 3-4 forecasts show El Nino strengthening. And in fact, not too different from the strong El Ninos that we've seen in the past, 97, 98, 98, 82, 83, and 2015, 2016. So all that's well and good. Looks like a strong El Nino is developing, and it's supposed to intensify over the next few months, peak as we reach the first of the year. But notice that multivariate ENSO index is nowhere near as strong. It's actually just gone into an El Nino phase. Now, multivariate ENSO index measures what the ocean, the atmospheric response to the ocean, up to about 30 degrees north and 30 degrees south in the middle portion of the Pacific. So it more broadly represents what ENSO is doing. And because of this warm water everywhere, an actual El Nino climate is quite weak and may only strengthen slightly a bit more as we head towards the midpoint of summer in the Southern Hemisphere. And then notice next year, we expect the El Nino to go away pretty steadily. We might even be back into a La Nina the second half of next year. So you can see that the markets have an awful lot to deal with here. We have a funny, strange El Nino. We also have an El Nino that's probably not going to last very long, and we might be heading back into a La Nina climate next year. We have other things that we have to deal with now. Over the last 10 years, I mentioned that marine heat waves have become a dominant factor in climate forecasting and explaining climate. We also have cool pools of water because of more rapidly melting ice melt. The most famous example is the one in the North Atlantic called the North Atlantic Warm Hole. It's called that because the North Atlantic is averaging much warmer than normal over the last two or three decades, except for this pool of cool water to the south of Greenland, because ice is melting, snow is melting and stratifying this cool air of water just to the south of Greenland. And we're finding that the same thing is happening in the Amundsen Sea off the north coast of Antarctica, creating a large area of cool pool water. And that's reflected in the upper atmosphere, producing a persistent trough to the southwest of South America. This trough has been responsible for a lot of weather up into South America, most famously the big freeze in Brazil a couple of years ago during winter. Now, to the east of Argentina, we have a marine heat wave. And in that location, high pressure has been dominant. Now, you can see on the graph on the right that the effects on South American climate by this particular condition, which has been very strong the last 3 years, it's been semi-permanent out there for the last 10 years, but the last three have been well-versed, strong in character. And the effect on South American climate has been for enhanced dryness across central Brazil, northern Argentina, southeast Brazil. So this is further enhancing the effects that we already know about from ENSO. So this is a relatively new concept, certainly added into the forecast I'll be presenting to you today. So let's begin with the forecast. My concern here, just to get to the bottom line, is drought in central Brazil for upcoming summer. So we expect in November for dryness to become pretty consistent and actually begin the onset of drought in the Mato Grosso area, for instance. Right now, we have wet weather in the forecast and the operational forecast, which carry into early November. But traders should keep in mind that the current weather pattern is a bit of a reminiscent or leftover from the cool season, the winter season. So we've yet to really go into the warm season climate pattern. That's going to start to develop in November. In November, we're going to have wet trades into the northern portion of South America, some wet weather persisting over southeast Brazil into northern Argentina. We're going to start weakening that drought in Argentina. And over Mato Grosso in the central portions of Brazil, dry and hot. So we're going to begin a problem there in November. Now, as we move towards December, this is the first month of meteorological summer. It's still on the dry side in central Brazil. So drought conditions there continue to evolve. New to the forecast is some dryness and anomalous heat east of Paraguay in southeast Brazil. Now, this area has adequate soil moisture right now, but I'm concerned that we might weaken that nice soil moisture condition that we have there now and start trending towards some important dryness as we go ahead towards January. So that's a new part of the forecast. Notice that there is a wet anomaly still over East Brazil and over Argentina, where the long-term drought is weakening. Okay, now we're into the middle portion of summer. It's hot and dry across most of central eastern Brazil. Southern Brazil towards Paraguay into northern Argentina, wet weather there. So we continue to diminish the drought in Argentina as we go through summer of 23-24. Very confident about that. But to the north, our problem is in central Brazil. Drought is underway and it's starting to expand eastward. So that's a bad time of year to have drier than normal climate. And of course, hotter than normal climate. The anomalous, it's always hot in central Brazil, but anomalous heat will accelerate that dry climate and make soil conditions worse. And then we head to February, and this is reminiscent of the type of pattern that we're in. It's not straightforward El Nino climate. We're going to see wet weather in eastern Brazil start to expand westward to close meteorological summer. So central Brazil, which is in drought as we head towards February, is going to start to see some beneficial rains to end meteorological summer. It's still dry in parts of southeast portions of Brazil, and the big dry pattern is shifting westward over into western Brazil and into the northwest part of the continent. Now, just as a summary of the meteorological summer outlook from Climate Impact Company, you can see that central Brazil is a concern. Now, this dryness that I've described to you is not a direct, obviously, is not a direct hit on the important crop areas of Brazil. The second corn crop, probably much of the corn crop is going to be impacted, northern soybeans as well. But to the south, crop conditions are pretty good right now, and enough rain is in the forecast for upcoming summer where I think we'll avoid a problem down there. I'm a little concerned about east of Paraguay, close to the coast, in the wheat growing areas of southern Brazil. We'll have to watch that closely. And then just to check just a couple of other sources. This forecast is from the International Research Institute for Climate and Society, located at Columbia University, New York City. And this is an international version as far as models are concerned from NOAA's Climate Prediction Center. Instead of just focused on the U.S., they're focused internationally. So I thought I would end the presentation here because it has some similarities to our forecast. Note that on the left, a high probability of anomalous heat across Brazil. Now, traders will say to me, Scott, it's always hot in Brazil, of course. But when it's hotter than normal on a consistent basis with dry climate, as you see here, forecast by the IRI model for central Brazil, drought will accelerate. Also, the deep layer soil moisture conditions in central Brazil and up towards Amazonia are also below normal. So that also helps accelerate drought. Note that we are, as with the Climate Impact Company forecast, the IRI outlook is wet as you head south into Argentina. So we should start to fade the drought condition, long-term drought condition in Argentina. So I'm going to stop right there and turn it back to Dan for any questions he might have. I think the departing comment here is that our focus for drought concern is on central Brazil for summer 23-24.
You know, Scott, and that has become such a big crop area, Mato Grosso, Goiás, Bahia into the north. I mean, that's where the expansion has occurred. So for them in that tropical area to have that extreme heat and dryness is going to be very detrimental. We'll have to watch that carefully. But Mato Grosso in particular is the big kahuna when you think about Brazil. I would mention, Scott, you know, as I look at like the Amazon River and some of the other, readings, Manaus, they're now trucking water into the Amazon, or the government is, because of a lack of drinkable water. I mean, this is highly unusual, I would imagine, for that part of the world.
I think it's a combination of the three things that we started with today. We are in a long-term dry climate. So anytime a drier climate comes along, you know, sponsored by ENSO, or La Nina, for instance, it's just going to make the dryness even more enhanced. And then we add two and three events, which we've certainly done over the last 20 years. That's what's leading to these record low river levels. Amazon's one of many examples. So to turn that around will be very, very difficult. Some areas will see some wet weather this upcoming summer. But the river levels, I think that's going to be a continuing problem. Obviously, central Brazil, a difficult forecast here.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. We really appreciate your time today, Scott, and we'll be watching this carefully because of its impact on global agriculture. I mean, this could be very important to follow in the weeks and months ahead. And I know Scott will help us here at Ag Resource and through Climate Impact Company stay close attention to what's going on there. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate it very much. And to all of you, we wish you a good day and hope you are well and staying safe in this very dangerous time in the world. Thank you again. Bye-bye.